Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Modo Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Modo Casino today.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go to another case that has been huge this week. Mackenzie Shirilla never talked to police. She never testified. The case that put her away for two murders was built on evidence, surveillance footage, the car's own data recorder, a digital trail of threats, and what investigators pieced together after the crash. The question that runs underneath all of this is, how do you prove a murder when the weapon is a car and the defendant never says a word about wanting to kill her boyfriend or her friend? Joining us to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI Special Agent, host of Break the Case, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Let's start here. Mackenzie never talked to police, never testified. The whole case was circumstantial. How do you prove someone intended to kill when they never say a single word about what actually happened? Obviously, it worked. The judge said, yeah, we knew what your intent was. But was that the right outcome? We've talked to everybody this week about this now. Jen, I'm curious to get your reaction. It's your turn to take the bat from Negan and take a swing at Mackenzie Shirilla exactly how you would like.
All right.
Pinata is yours.
When you're talking about cases, when you go in as a case agent, you should never think, oh, I'm going to rely on getting a confession or rely on what they're going to say. The way to go into a case is saying, listen, I need to look at all of this evidence objectively, see what is out there, and piece together a case to your puzzle that doesn't involve a confession. Because then if you get everything put together, that's when you go and talk to the person. That's when you have everything on the board that you can hopefully convince them it's in their best interest to talk to you about what happened. In this case, she was smart, never said anything. But come on, this evidence is overwhelming. Her digital trail is obnoxious. They have the car. She's done.
I like that, digital trail is obnoxious. And so the debate all week, Jen, and so this is what we'd love you to weigh in on. So here's the debate. There is no debate that she was the result, her actions resulted in the death of two people. That's irrefutable.
You know,
irrefutable. That's the word I was looking for. Thanks, Tony. So irrefutable that's what her actions caused. What we keep going back and forth on all week is, what was her intent? Because, again, we keep going to that intent thing. The judge says her intent was to kill her friends. Again, kind of paraphrasing there. And some of us are saying, well, that doesn't quite fit the data sets that we're getting on this, because we don't see her being suicidal. We don't see her intentionally wanting to murder someone, although because she's a stupid narcissist and she's using the vehicle as a fear lever of manipulation, like she's already done before, that her intent was to manipulate people into compliance and they happen to die, including almost herself. And so I guess that's what we're kind of looking at, is where do you line on that from what you're seeing from your experience? Do you think the intent was to murder, or is the intent to use fear and they died because of her stupidity?
I think the intent was to murder. I agree with this judge on this. Look at what we have before us. Two dead people.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. That's where I lie on it. You don't race a car at humans and not think they're going to die. unless you just literally don't understand the outcomes of something like that.
And that's where I think it lands.
And that's where we're going back and forth. Yeah,
did she understand? Just like some idiot that doesn't understand the power of a weapon, of a gun, if you will. You know, obviously there are certain things you do and don't do with a weapon, loaded or not. You take it seriously. There's idiots out there who don't understand that, that wave them around, that do stupid shit. And then sometimes, oh, surprise, that's a loaded weapon and you thought it wasn't and it fires and it shoots somebody. Now, because they were stupid and waving it around doesn't mean that they intended to murder somebody, but the result of their stupidity and their actions and their narcissism and all of that resulted in this. Is this similar to that? How is this different than that, I guess? In your opinion, from the evidence, what stands out to you, Jen, that makes you say, just like the judge did, that this is beyond just recklessness or stupidity? What's landed with you?
I think what's landed with me is the obvious nature of she would understand what a car would do. We're not talking about a three-year-old looking up and you know, not understanding the breadth of force of a vehicle. So I just do not buy anyone who murders people with a car saying, oh, geez, I have no idea that could do that.
That's
as being logical.
Do you think she went into it with the intent of killing herself? Or do you think the narcissism, the ego, didn't even consider that, hey, you might die as well?
You know, I think when people do these types of crimes, that they are more focused on the intent to kill than they are what could happen to them in these particular cases. And in this case, that's how I see it. I see that her decision did not keep into account what could happen to her, the extent of what could happen to her.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was then, and I can see that if she's so blinded by rage and so blinded in the moment, and that's why I guess where my question is going, do you think this was then premeditated, that she had an intent beforehand to kill them, or was she caught up in the moment?
I think that she premeditated. In other words, I think that this is something she probably thought about way before this, maybe not in this particular way, but I think the rage and the hate that somebody experiences, it goes in and out. They keep thinking about it, and then an opportunity presents.
And what do you think then about the reactions that, again, the only data we really have is how Netflix edited it. So we're kind of limited in that cut that we had. So we had two things that stood out to me, which were data points when assessing this as well, was how the parents shared her reaction when finding about Dom being murdered, killed, as well as his friend and her friends in the back seat. And it seemed to be, it was an interesting reaction. And then you also then had her with the bracelets on that they wanted to remove from her when she went to jail. Do you think that was because she was making a show? Was it because she had empathy about it? I mean, how do you think her reactions when finding out basically about them being dead, were they genuine, insincere, cinematic in any way?
Well, definitely cinematic. But having said that, there are some people that actually, once everything happens, the gravity of the situation, they actually do have some regret. And I think that this could be a combination of possibly some regret, but mostly a show.
The parents have been making headlines all week. I know you've seen it. I've seen it. We've all seen it. We've all been subject to the parents of Mackenzie Shirilla's verbal diarrhea on the internet over the last couple of weeks here. Do the parents, I mean, it's a very broad question. I don't really know the mechanism to which it would be handled, but do the parents bear responsibility in any way, shape, or form for what their daughter's actions were?
I don't think so in this case.
No.
Nope. I can't see it. I can't see the connect.
Just
no crumblies there, right?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the interesting thing. I don't see the connect other than just really irresponsible parenting? I mean, is this just simply a look into a world of, well, here's how the sausage is made. When you make it that way, when you follow this recipe, this is what you get. Surprise, surprise. What's your reaction to so many folks when they see Mackenzie's reaction from prison? They look at it as, oh, she's dismissive or she's not taking this seriously. We've heard some of the phone calls between her and her mother. What's been your reaction to the communications between the parents and Mackenzie from behind bars that we've been privy to?
You know, I really believe that people like Mackenzie, she had in her mind what is going to happen once I'm behind bars. In other words, this isn't just like you're thrown into something and you have to react. This is something she had imagined in her mind. What was she going to act like? What was the relationship going to be like with the parents, these conversations and everything? So I guess, I don't know, to sum it up, she was ready for it and we're seeing Mackenzie. I don't think there's anything further beyond that.
That's really interesting. So I hadn't considered that aspect of it. So do you believe it was premeditated so much from her standpoint that actually she was actually thinking about what life in prison would be like, because you think she was playing that tape forward enough that she was anticipating it?
I do. Really do. I think that is what makes sense to me in terms of a lot of these people. They know that when they're up for these kinds of criminal charges, they've thought about it over and over and over again. Just think, with anything in our lives, something that is huge, whatever that might be, that could be our future, how you think about it, even like a move, right? Okay, whatever. And I think that was played out for her.
So in order to do that, so she has the cognizant ability to kind of play that tape forward, to plan what life in prison is going to be like from your perspective after the actions of this take place. What do you think is hindering her from being able to plan forward to her parole hearing, where she has got 36 violations against her, 32 are found? In other words, for as much planning as she seems to have done, she's really sucking at it right now if she ever wants to get out.
Well, I don't think she cares. I mean, she didn't care whether she killed two people. Why does she care about these violations? In other words, I don't think that's in her recipe. I think she's the type of person that does everything for the moment, does things the way she wants, and then the repercussions she'll have to face. But I think it's more important to her that she live and does the things she wants to do. I mean, how many times have we come across these personalities?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday we were calling her Corey Richens, the training bra, is what Mark Fry, I think, online said yesterday. She looks just like her. I mean, she's going to do this at some point, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like at some point, no matter what was going to happen here, when you look at the trajectory of Mackenzie Schirilla, if this wasn't what landed her in prison, something else would. It was a matter of who and what were going to be her victims as the human tornado that she is. Fascinating to get your insight on. I've been watching your tweets about it this week, so I'm glad we got a chance to discuss. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home 1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.